Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowner with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Pichella, and I also have a trading problem.
It's your boy Herms, who happens to have a trading problem as well. What up? Hey!
I love those intros. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Pull up a chair, grab a drink, throw a dap if you're in the chat, because even though the network went away, we all know the dap is here to stay. So, you know,
if there it is. Just,
yeah, I was gonna say, you might ask, did I lose sleep over making that? Yes, I did. But we'll hopefully weave that in as we go. But welcome to session 357. We have, as everyone has heard, our dear friend Herms is back with us today. Herms, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, I'm Herms. They call me Herms because that is the name that I've chosen. I do fantasy football stuff, and mostly you can find that stuff. I do a lot of behind-the-scenes work over at Fantasy Points. I occasionally write some articles for them, but also, starting this month,
woo!
I'm at FTN doing stuff, writing stuff, and doing other things for them. So, yeah, that's two places. I also do some podcasting with my buddies, the Dynasty Degen, so I guess that's three places. But still, yeah, FTN's the big news. So, woo, we're celebrating.
Yeah, if you guys have not checked out Herms' first article, he broke down some winners and losers of the Combine on FTN Fantasy, so go check that out. So, we had Combine this week, and I feel like we'll break that down a lot as we go. I think we can hit the news first, and then we can do some trades and Combine talk. So, Herms, we're not going to really let you choose between trades and listener questions tonight because one is way better than the other. So I'm going to let you pick what news we start with. Would you like to do Debo first or would you like to do Stafford first?
I am a native of the Washington, D.C. area, so I would like to start with Debo first.
I kind of figured that. Okay, so Debo to the Commanders for a fifth rounder. The Commanders ate all the money, I think, from what I was reading. There's rumors that Ayuk is also being shopped around. I think there's a lot to be looked at for the 49ers. First off, being Juwan Jennings might be the cheapest number one wide receiver in the history of the league at like $2 million or whatever he's going for. So where do we go from here, Herms? Are you buying the Pearsalls and the Juwans of the world? Are you dropping McLaurin? I should probably look where I did move McLaurin in my rankings. Oh, hold on tight, everybody. That's right. The rankings are done. So I did drop McLaurin. I'll pull that up while Herms talks. But Herms, where do we go from here?
I mean, at least starting with the 49ers, I think it's great news for Ricky Pearsall specifically. That's a pretty big Debo-sized logjam that's been lifted out of that depth chart. So he has a lot going for him. He looked pretty good at times last year, and, you know, still talking about a first-round draft capital guy, blah, 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 blah. So that's going to be a ton of fun. We'll see what happens with the rest of the guys. I'm not as in on Juwan Jennings quite yet because I still want to see what's up with the whole Ayuk part of everything, but I'm definitely bought in for Pearsall at the very minimum. On the Commander side of it, though, I'm just really excited for Jaden Daniels to have somebody to kind of throw to a little bit more underneath and not have to rely so much on Zach Ertz in those short to intermediate parts of the field. Because that was one thing they were really
Zach Ertz. I love Zach Ertz. He carried my Scott Fishbowl team. So
he's an excellent player, and I love him to death, but he's just
long
in the tooth.
Do you want him back?
I mean, I think it would be cool. I don't know. We didn't see enough from like Ben Sinnott to know if he's going to be ready to step in and be a full-time tight end at this point. So no harm done if you bring back a veteran for one more year, especially one that built such good rapport with Jaden Daniels. But I don't know, man. It's having a diversity of weapons in that offense is going to be key. They're still going to need to draft another receiver probably to really arm Daniels with what he needs. But Debo solves a really specific function in the offense that they needed. And I'm excited to see what Cliff Kingsbury can kind of scheme up for him.
Rocky?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Herms. I like the move for Washington and Jaden Daniels, like getting him more weapons, especially, I mean, for fifth rounder, that's like nothing. I mean, I know they got to pay his contract, but I'm pretty sure they have like one of the highest cap spaces in the league anyway. So got to use it up. Yeah, so. We already like Jaden Daniels, but this maybe helps, hopefully. Although, well, I was going to say Stroud, but Diggs wasn't necessarily anything great either. So, but hopefully this helps protect against, the sophomore slump that we see sometimes from these rookie quarterbacks who start off well. It does make me worry a little bit for Purdy, especially with that Ayuk news you dropped there, because I've always been a big Purdy as a product of the guys around them guy. So if Ayuk goes two, I would be very concerned. Yep. Pearsall's a total question mark to me. I agree, there were some flashes last year, but it wasn't a ton. So and Juwan Jennings is a nice little player, but if he's throwing to Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall and George Kittle and that's it, I'm gonna be a little concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so looking at where I put – I dropped McLaurin, and that's a name we haven't really talked about yet. I dropped him seven spots in wide receivers. I put him behind Worthy only because – and you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong. I think a lot of his production was really touchdown dependent, and I think with Debo around and if they bring Ertz back and if they draft – let's just make this up because I've seen this name thrown around. If they draft a Buka and they have kind of a Bears situation from last year, right, where they have a DJ Moore and a Keenan Allen and a Rome, who everyone is going to hype up, I don't know how you can put McLaurin in the same stratosphere as he was last year. So, like I said, I have him now behind Worthy and Rice, who are side by side for me, and ahead of Addison and Rome. So I think that's probably just a smidge too low, but it's I'd rather be conservative just because McLaurin, what he did last year is not like what he did in other years. He was always kind of the wide receiver too with some floor, and now he's apparently some guy who can help carry your team, and I'm not sure I'm there yet. So but yeah, and I'm happy to be wrong. I have a couple of McLaurin shares. I worry about what Debo can do. I would worry about this for Sinnott and whatever hype we still have on him. I know Ertz kind of fanned those flames a little bit, but I think Debo's going to kind of run the middle of the field. And I heard somewhere that the Commanders are like the number one screen team in the NFL, so Debo should be good at that. And Commanders, why couldn't you just have traded Luke McCaffrey back? Just do that for fun. Like, give him to the Niners and let him play together. You don't need McCaffrey anymore. You just put Debo in a spot. So, yeah, RIP, whatever Luke McCaffrey hype we had, which is sad.
But real quick, because we talked about basically all the pieces around it, but does this affect your view of Debo himself at all? Which it doesn't for me. I see his.
No, I didn't move him.
He's got a good quarterback. It's a similar kind of situation where he's got another good receiver on the other side.
He's got to stay healthy, man. Like he hasn't been healthy in a while. So I hope they figure out a fun way to use him. He seems like a very college-y type player where Kingsbury is going to figure out how to put him in motion and put him in the backfield and little screen passes.
Shade to Brian Robinson. It's not like they have a great running back.
No.
Where
that's another one.
Debo, like 5, 6, 7. touches the game from the back.
Eckler's probably in trouble. I didn't even think about that until just now, but Eckler was like the king of catching little passes out of the backfield, and I could see Debo doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, okay. After all of that, Stafford stayed in L.A.
he was always going to stay in L.A.
I thought they so too,
what
but
were
man,
they
going to
do with no Stafford?
I know it got spicy for a second.
Darnold maybe or something, but
it got spicy for a second. Stafford. And you know, there was rumors out there that the Giants and Raiders both had $90 to $100 million offers on the table for Stafford, and he took $40 million to stay in L.A. So obviously, good for Puka. Good for Cup question mark if he stays. But what do we do with, we're going to get to the Giants and the Raiders in a second, but I mean, as you look at Stafford, is anything changed? The fact that he's staying in LA and, you know, he's going to be 37. So you're not buying Stafford. Well, maybe Rocky is because he likes these types of quarterbacks, but Herms, are you buying anything, selling anything on this?
I mean, it's with Stafford, it's kind of the same that it's been over the last couple of years because he's old, but still pretty good. Mm-hmm. He's a nice value if you're doing startup drafts or if, you know, you're in desperate need of upgrading a quarterback and you don't want to spend too much to get the asset. Like, I like those old guys that are still really good. So yeah. I'm just glad that it didn't end up with him going to a significantly worse situation. I think that him going to either the Raiders or the Giants would have been bad. We'll definitely get to that, obviously.
Yes.
But yes, him being around and staying around is just good. It also would have been weird if he had gone anywhere else, because it was already weird enough to not see him in a Lions uniform.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, over time, it was like, okay, you're a Ram.
And he won a Super Bowl, and it helped. And yeah.
Yeah, we got comfortable with this. If he had gone to a third place, the vibes would have just been totally off.
Yeah.
And I like to incorporate at least a small amount of vibes-based analysis into all the work that I do. So that, I think, is the most important thing. The vibes remain the same.
Yes.
That much matters.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him in Giants blue, and it just looked weird. I didn't like it. So, Rocky, anything for the Rams or Puka or any of those guys?
No, like I said, I always assumed he was going to stay. I thought it made too much sense for Stafford, too. Like, do you think Stafford wants to go play for the Giants or the Raiders? But, yeah, I think just, like, this doesn't change anything. If you liked buying an old quarterback who still produces before, you know, there was no reason him signing an extension in LA doesn't change that. I mean, I guess, you knew he was coming back this year anyway. I would assume he probably plays at least a couple more with signing this. So maybe that's good and gives you a little more confidence that he's not, because there's, you know, there's been rumors like almost every year, is Stafford going to retire? I would expect signing an extension. He's not going to retire next year. So maybe it at least puts that to rest.
He's not losing you games, I think, is the best way of putting Stafford at this age. He's not Rodgers or Peyton at the end. He's not losing anyone games.
He's the one quarterback that actually almost beat the Eagles last year.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Yeah. That looks so much better now. Like that Rams team looks so much better now that we see what the Eagles finished doing.
Yeah.
So maybe they have a shot. I mean, the defense is young and they have all their picks for the first time ever. So like they might actually draft some people.
Yeah, they got some nasty guys in that front seven, too. That was a big thing in that game, too. Yeah.
Yep. So the Jets have cut Davante Adams. It was I loved how they were searching for a trade. No one was going to take that. They're going to wait to get him for free. So now the name I wrote down, the Niners make a ton of sense if Ayuk's getting traded, because they can have a veteran presence to kind of build up Pearsall and Juwan, and the Jets save about $30 million against the cap, and we'll touch on what they're going to do with that money in a second. But Herms, where do we want Davante Adams? Don't say with Rodgers on the Giants, please.
No, that would be terrible. I want him. Well, I want him to go wherever makes him happy, because Davante Adams is literally good anywhere he goes.
Yes,
he is still so sharp as a route runner and being able to get open that like the landing spot doesn't really bother me, so long as it's not with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I guess that's sort of my answer to it, is they need to separate. They tried to rekindle their friendship in New York, and it ended up being really weird and totally unsuccessful for myriad reasons, but
outside of one really good second half.
That is true. That is true. It popped every now and then, but for the most part, it was just an absolute mess. I just want Rodgers to go somewhere that no one cares about and for Devontae Adams to go somewhere that is positive. Just it's time to keep it separated, everybody. That's the most important thing. That's all we got to do.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think Herm's made a good point there. I mean, he produced with the Raiders for a couple of years, even after Carr left. So, I mean, most spots will be pretty good. I do like what you said about the Niners. Even if Ayuk doesn't leave, I don't hate that. I think he could produce there with Shanahan's system. And as much as I bagged on Purdy over the years.
I was going to say, it'd make me feel way better about Purdy if he was there.
And he has gotten the ball to his playmakers and let them make plays.
Yeah.
The only other one I was thinking of was maybe Buffalo. They just spent a whole bunch of money on Keon Coleman, for Christ's sake. So it's not like they have a lot.
No, Shakir.
I'm sorry. I'm not. Yeah, I mixed them up in my head.
I knew
Shakir, but you know what I meant. And Keon Coleman did not do that much his first year. So it's not like they got a lot going on there. And I think, you know, with an elite quarterback, he could produce even better. So,
yeah, just no Rodgers and no New Orleans. Stay away from that too. I don't want him with Carr. I know he likes Carr and all that, but just don't go there either.
Okay, Rocky. Saquon got a 2-year extension restructuring thing. I don't know. No one really knows what this is. Is this adding 2 years on his deal? Is it restructuring the current 2 years of his deal? They call it an extension, but the most important thing is he got a bag. He got a $40 million bag with incentives to go up another 15.
Yeah, it says extension. I don't know the details of it either, but someone made a good point in our Cool Kids Club. You know, sign up for the Patreon, Cool Kids Club. That it could be these are just like voidable years at the end, and this was basically a way to reward him for the Super Bowl and with the big signing bonus, and they stretch it out over these years and all that stuff. I have severe doubts he will actually be playing these 2 years out, but so I think it's sort of an extension and sort of a restructuring that they probably needed to add the years to give him the money.
Right.
Herms, so I don't think it changes that much.
Herms, you moving Barkley at all because of this, or are you just saying hold serve, he's a top 5-ish running back?
Not moving up much higher than that.
He was extremely good before the news, and he is extremely good after the news. So I have not changed my mind at all.
Yes.
I'm happy for him, though. It's
me
cool.
Too. Me
the
too.
The whole, like, don't pay running backs, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Well, how's that crowd feeling now?
I know.
How you guys feeling now?
We're paying them early. Look at James Conner and Montgomery and now Barkley. We're paying them early. The whole world's turned upside down.
I am concerned, though, as an Eagles fan, not having anything to do with the extension, but just as an Eagles fan and as a fantasy manager, just the touches this year. It doesn't go well historically the next year. As much as I love Saquon and I hope he bucks that trend, I don't know the exact number, but it was very, very, very high. I know there's like a threshold of like 350 or 370. If you go over that, they almost always get hurt or seriously decline the next year. Right. So I'm a little worried.
I saw a tweet that had like, what do people think of this Madden cover? And it had Saquon on it, and the whole world freaked out. They're like, for the love of God, stay away from Saquon on the Madden cover.
He's already in a bad spot on the touches. We don't need the Madden cover.
Right.
So.
It's like, don't put him on there.
He would, I mean, it would make perfect sense.
But don't do that. We have enough curse talk. So moving to the Jets, this was weird. Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic says they haven't had any talks about extending Breece Hall. So why not just trade him now? If you guys are really blowing this up, just send him away. He's in the last year of his deal. He's 24. You could probably get a return for him. They are also apparently talking to Garrett Wilson about extending, because now we do that with wide receivers. We're extending them like 3 years early. So, Herms, where is Breece Hall for you now? And does an extension or not an extension affect that ranking for you at all? Does the magical thought of him leaving the Jets and actually being on an offense intrigue you?
That would be fun, wouldn't it? That would be that would be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that day to come. And yeah, the fact that they're not talking to him about it is something that I find to be encouraging. He's still a really good player. It just happened to be an egregiously terrible offensive ecosystem last year. And I think things will run differently with whoever they end up replacing Rodgers with. I have hopes that it will be slightly better for him next year. But yeah, I'm trying not to overreact too much in terms of how I value Breece Hall. Like, I still think he is a bona fide dynasty RB1. But he's definitely lost a little bit of his luster. So I don't blame people for valuing him less. I don't know. He's tough, man. We're going to need a little bit more information, I think. Like, once free agency starts, because I think that's like next week already.
Starts on Monday. Tampering starts on Monday.
Let's go. Oh, legal tampering. Oh, even more fun than the real free agency. Exactly. Legal tampering. I love that term so much.
It's basically this. It's you know, Christmas, 3 days before Christmas. You start hearing news already. So hopefully we'll have a lot of news for next week's show.
Hopefully. Yeah. But I don't know. I think I took a really long-winded way of saying I'm not sure. So there you go.
Rocky, are you sure?
Not really. For me, it's always been hard to value Breece Hall because he's on the Jets. But I was looking at the ADP, and if this is basically what his value is at, he's at RB5. It's hard to put him much above that, even if he goes somewhere better. So, I mean, he's a great player, and I do think being on the Jets has hurt him somewhat, but he's still been producing. And, again, I don't know that I'm putting him above Saquon or Gibbs or Bijan or even – I know some people don't love this guy as much as I do, Achan.
This question.
I mean, it would have to be a pre. That's the only one of those three I think I put. Even with Saquon's age, I'm not sure I move him up. Maybe above Saquon if he goes to like a great spot. And I'm not even sure what that spot would be. I guess some people might say the Cowboys. I'm not even sure of that, but
right. I think it's Genty at this point to the Cowboys.
I do too.
There's too.
But
many
I'm just saying. I'm trying to think of what the ideal spot would be. That would maybe vault him up there, even up like to three or two or something, even which I don't know that I could do.
Right. Herms, Breece or Achan?
I love them both so much, but I think at this point I'm going to have to go with Achan. When you have like Madden 99 level speed in real life, you are automatically within the top five. That is just how this works. Like, no matter how much I love Breece Hall, when you have a dominant trait like that, you just ride with it, baby. You ride with it.
Yeah, he can make your week with one play, basically.
Yeah. I have a big teardrop after Achan. The next guy on there for me is Bucky. I love Bucky. I'm not taking him over Breece and Achan. So yeah. I have Bucky one spot over Jonathan Taylor. I don't think I'd take either of them over Breece or Achan. So moving on to the Seahawks, there's lots of smoke and fire around DK Metcalf, with the main team being thrown out being the Packers. We actually had a listener question on this from at Smokey Hell Nelson at thesmokeshow.bsky.social. If DK does move to Green Bay, what is the fair return? Who comes back to Seattle? So I will give quick context. The trade that was thrown around was a first and one of Wicks or Dubs, I think. That seems too high to give a first for Metcalf, who's already getting paid real money. But man, he would fit, and man, he would skyrocket up my personal rankings if he went to the Packers. So Herms, let's go to a world where DK is a Packer. What are your thoughts? And let's say Wicks goes back.
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, this is very achievable because DK Metcalf, I think, only has one more year left on his contract. So I don't think that the it's not going to be super cost prohibitive in terms of a team sending a pick, because I don't think it's going to require a first. I think you could probably do it with just like a later day two pick, which is something that a team like the Packers could absolutely do. So I don't know how much legit smoke there is to this, but it's definitely feasible. And I think that's something people need to remember. DK would be super cool there, especially because I know that for as much as I kind of doubted Jordan Love coming into his starter era, he's good. And he can definitely launch the ball pretty far. And if you're going to have a guy like DK Metcalf on the other end of those super deep shots, it's going to work out a lot better for him than it has been with, like, say, Christian Watson. If we could put DK Metcalf at the end of all of those throws that are going to Christian Watson, this offense is going to look a lot different. They'll be able to finally take the lid off of defenses, because one of the issues they've been having with having guys like Jaden Reed and relying so much on the tight ends and Tucker Kraft is that, you know, there's only so much, like, the passing game feels very contained. So I think it would be super cool, and it would really make a huge difference for Metcalf's value, because he is kind of a shaky, weird asset year in and year out anyway, based off of his archetype. But who'd you say going back in return?
Like, I would say, I'd just say Wicks for now, because that's the name that's been thrown around a lot. Would Wicks on the Seahawks do anything for you? It'd send JSN to the moon, but
yeah, I mean, Tyler Lockett's also still there, you know, whether people like to think about him or not. So between JSN and Lockett, like, I don't, it'd be fun. Yeah. Maybe he could do something. Lockett's old. It's possible Wicks could ascend into something eventually, but the big winner of it would absolutely just be sort of the quote unquote freeing of DK Metcalf. I think that would be the biggest thing. Yes. And at that point, he would probably, he'd climb up my rankings to a point where I'd actually be willing to buy in. He's somebody I'm very hesitant about in Dynasty, but that's a landing spot that I'd be excited about.
For sure. Rocky, anything to add?
Yeah, just that I think DK, again, looking at the ADP with the caveat that ADP does not always equal trade value, but he's listed at wide receiver 31. Packers are now, I think, I'm buying him at that price, but if he went to the Packers, I would love that. Like Herm said, I don't think Jordan Love is amazing, but he's worlds above Geno Smith. Basically, DK Metcalf's problem has not been DK Metcalf. It's been Geno Smith and, you know, the three wide receivers there that, you know, all are pretty good. And a decently heavy run philosophy there, too. So it's like the perfect combo of badness for a receiver to excel. And he did early on, but again, adding JSN did not help matters. So, I think he's a good buy, even if he doesn't go there, even if you have to wait a year. I know he's not young, but receivers generally hit their prime, actually, even though everybody likes to sell them by the time they're like 26. A lot of the best receiver seasons are like the 27 to 29 seasons. So even if you wait for 28 and 29 and he ends up somewhere else, then I think it's still worth the buy now, especially with how cheap he is at this point.
Blows my mind that DK is 27. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like he's been in the league 3 years and he's been in the league 6 years. Yeah. Crazy. I would just be happy that the Packers would have a wide receiver taller than 6 feet, personally.
I know, same guy, right?
They are, and DK would be different.
Yeah,
that's why I would be in on that.
It makes so much sense. It won't happen.
Yeah, right. It never does.
Darn.
Speaking of things that make no sense, the Bengals officially tagged T. Higgins, and I did get Russ's official quote on the matter. It was, ugh. He's not happy. He wanted him to go either sign an extension or go anywhere else. The Commanders getting Debo. Funny thing is,
yeah, he wanted him to go to get the Commanders, and then they got Debo, and he didn't like that.
Nuked that. So, Herms, do you want him to be a Bengal on a bigger extension, or do you want him to fly away free and go somewhere else?
Ideally, I'd really like to see the band stick together. So in terms of my real life football rooting interest, as a lifelong Steelers fan, the Bengals are my least favorite team. So I would love to see the Bengals completely you know, just in shambles, never be good again, ideally. But because this is a fantasy focused show, I do like their offense for fantasy. It's always been a very fun offense. So, but I have so many questions as to whether or not they'll be able to afford to sign him long term, sign Ja'Marr Chase long term, continue to fix the defense, and pay Joe Burrow what they've already agreed to pay him.
And Hendrickson, so, which apparently they want to keep too. So
yeah, like he is definitely like one of the only consistent sack makers on the other side of that ball too. So like you have to keep all of that intact. Like for as much as we may want him to stick around, he kind of has to go somewhere else, right? The math ain't mathing. I'm not a salary cap expert. I don't know a ton about economics, but I know enough that you can't spend over this amount of money, and they're already agreeing to spend this much, you know, so it's like there's only, you know, you got a little clearance. That's about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sucks when these things fall apart. It'd be nice to keep these, you know, receiver duos and stuff together, but we're reaching that point in T. Higgins' career that he just has to fly away, man. It's sad. I don't know.
They've said it's a placeholder for an extension. Like, on the plus side,
of course, that's what they're saying. By the way, I wouldn't. Yeah, say. Yeah. We're tagging him so we can keep him for a year, burn his legs, and then we'll let him walk. You know.
On the plus side, between Higgins, Chase, and Burrow, their defense is probably going to be trash because they don't have any money for it, which means the offense is just going to have to light it up.
They're going to have
45 points a game.
So. Yep, let's do it. Yeah.
Maybe you should be hoping T. Higgins stays.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's something because, first off, Higgins is just never going to play 17 games. He never has. I don't think he ever will, you know. I'd love to be wrong, but it doesn't seem like he's ever going to be. So how do you pay him real money when you know he's going to play not every game? And I think that's what the struggle is here, because obviously they can't keep him on the tag. It's $26 million. That's crazy that they're going to keep him for that amount of money. You almost rather would extend him just so you don't have to pay him that much to keep him. But It all feels strange, and it all feels kind of like, you know, something that there's going to be a lockout over in a few years because they figured out how to do franchise tags, and they're going to franchise tag a second time and this, that, and the other. It's just, they're going to figure out how to get rid of stuff like this, but I hope he goes somewhere else for Russ's sake, at least.
if nothing else.
Right. And then he's going to go to the Patriots, and Russ will be like, oh, I wish he had stayed on the Bengals as a franchise tag. So moving on.
The grass is not always greener, man. The grass is not always greener.
No, it's not. It's funny. So the Giants are interested in Aaron Rodgers and apparently had convos all of Indy week. First off, Herms, did you go to Indy?
I did not. I spent that time on my couch.
As you should. There's also been rumors that they want to trade up to number one, and I don't know how they quite do both. I get the whole let's draft the rookie and sign the veteran, but Rodgers doesn't seem like the veteran you really want to have around teaching your rookie what to do. No. And that would also bring Adams with, which would murder neighbors, in my opinion. Like, you know. Maybe not completely destroy his value, but it would knock him down at least a tier because Adams is going to get his targets. So I kind of just had this on there just because it was interesting, but I want nothing to do with this. And then looking at the next team who was in the Stafford sweepstakes, the Raiders are expected to look at Darnold, Fields, and Russ as QB options. Darnold is expected to end up on the Raiders or the Giants, because the Vikings announced they are not tagging him, but are going to talk to about keeping him. I don't understand how that's going to work. I think they're going to get outpaid. So, Herms, where do you want to see our beloved Sam Darnold go?
Man, I kind of want to see him back in Minnesota just for like a year or two, maybe. It worked really well, man. He really took to the Kevin O'Connell offense super well, and it ended up paying dividends involving not just Justin Jefferson consistently, but involving Jordan Addison consistently, still getting good numbers to TJ Hockenson. Like, he spread the wealth super well for fantasy. I'd love to see that stick around, but At least if he goes to the Giants, he has someone to, well, at least a big receiver to throw to. I was going to say a pass catcher, but then I remembered Brock Bowers existed and I didn't want to be rude. But yeah, you know, I think that would be a lot more fun. I'm not sure what to make of the Raiders and what they're supposed to do at quarterback either, but this just goes to show like how big of a mess things are for the Giants right now. Cause like the HBO is having a hard time finding somebody for Hard Knocks because of how bad Joe Shane looked in that whole Saquon Barkley situation. And now 1 year later, they're just even further from solving their problem somehow. And this is the type of market they have to be resorted to after missing out on Matthew Stafford. Like, yes. This is the big fun tie-in from before. It's
right.
If one person had moved, the entire landscape of everything could have completely changed. But Matthew Stafford not being a doofus has now sent these two teams into the most weird nightmare scenarios for figuring their lives out. And that is why football is one of the most interesting sports in the world, folks. It's so fun.
Yeah, Stafford stayed in the like most expensive place on earth, so he didn't have to go to New York or Las Vegas Raiders.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And took less money to do it.
First of all, Rodgers to the Giants would be the most Giants thing ever.
100%.
I do not understand that at all. Why they are even
Stable and Shane trying to save like, their jobs because they have to sell Mara.
They're I don't see why Rodgers would want to go there either. Unless he, I mean, he needs the cash. So like, they're not going to contend. Like, why would he? And he's not going anywhere to be a bridge quarterback to Cam Ward or whatever. So like it makes
that's zero the only, sense. I think it's the only team that will take his bullshit, honestly, because they need the talent. Brady's not going to let him do that. Like in Vegas.
My question is, don't you have enough money, Aaron? Like what the hell?
No. Like,
you just going to go there and lose 10 plus games again. Like it makes no sense. Anyway, Darnold, I mean, Darnold, I guess, makes more sense. You could either be a bridge or I just think he's going to revert to Sam Darnold once he gets out of Minnesota. And Herm said the best answer there. He's just – it's the Purdy thing. I think he – and I do think Purdy is better than Sam Darnold. Don't get me wrong. But I do think, like what I said before, I think Darnold was totally a product of having so much in place there, the coaching, the weapons – everything kind of to set up to succeed. And even then he just imploded at the end of the year. So where Sam Darnold, I have almost zero Sam. I might have zero Sam Darnold. So where he goes doesn't make that much sense to me. I'd be selling if you can get anything for him, because I think he's not going to be in Minnesota. And I think he's going to not succeed pretty much anywhere else he might go.
Yeah, because L.A. was kind of that other one, right, where he would go to a McVay
system. Yeah, that's the one place that maybe if Kupp stays, maybe it works. But I think he needs multiple weapons. Like, he's going to, like Herm said, he'll have a weapon in either of those places, but that's pretty much it.
Right.
I guess maybe Jacoby Myers is you know, the next best option on either team. I think we're going to see, you know, maybe not quite as bad as Jets Sam Darnold, but nowhere near Vikings Sam Darnold.
Right. Herms, the Steelers play a big role in all of this. So who do you want back? Who do you want? Do you want Russ back? Do you want Fields back? I have a big Steelers friend who says like he wants Field back and not even to look at Russ anymore. Where's your head?
I am the same way. It's been really interesting seeing a lot of the reports kind of throw themselves out there in either direction. Like, oh, it's Russ. Oh, it's going to be Fields. Oh, it's going
to
be
Russ. Or it's Rodgers.
All right. If Aaron Rodgers signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers, then I am a Washington Commanders fan.
Yes.
That is what's happening. I refuse to root for a football team that has Aaron Rodgers on it. I won't do it.
There will be full-on pickets outside Heinz Field if that happens.
Yeah, I am not here for that vibe whatsoever. But, yeah, I mean, Fields is the one that I kind of wanted to get the extended look anyway. Like, when they made the decision to go to Russ, I was like, no. No, don't do it. But they're doing so well. Right. He's struggling a little bit with some stuff, but he's running and it's fun and the offense works. And it's We saw how flat things got when the kind of Russ magic wore off, and it became obvious that unless they executed something super well and George Pickens was super wide open for that super long sideline throw, that is the only throw he can make, then he would just get caught in the pocket and get sacked because he can't move anymore. The man can't move anymore. Russell Wilson cannot move anymore. We need somebody that can just escape some sort of pressure and bring right. dynamism to the offense. It's a division. You're going up against Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow four times a year, and that's just part of your schedule. You know, like, you need something like that. So Herms is very much on the team of, I want it to be Justin Fields, or I want them to somehow find a way to take Jackson Dart. That's my other kind of hot take.
Really?
But, oh, dude, I love him.
In
so
the
much.
First?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. I think he's good, man. I really do. I think he can do it. But of the realistic options, Justin Fields is definitely my guy.
Okay. Fields is another one thrown around the Jets, but not by many people. But that would make some logical sense.
Him and Garrett Wilson again, dude?
Him and Garrett Wilson and him and Breece Hall would be awesome. That'd be a fun backfield. Rappaport said there's real interest from a few teams to trade up to one. The Giants are kind of the team that people are throwing around on this. I personally would be happy to see Cam Ward on the Giants. I don't think they're patient enough for that. I think they'd almost have to go veteran in front of them because I don't think Dable and Shane would be able to survive another full rebuild. But I've been wrong. I thought Dable and Shane should have been fired last year. So who knows? And then free agency starts next week. Woohoo! We get to tamper on Monday. And then we talked about the combine. We'll do some more as there's some listener questions down the line. Before we move on to trades, Tony Perez, also known as Tone, who came in and did a fantastic job last week. He said, would there be a sign and trade for Higgins? And you'd have to have the team he's getting traded to, like, almost have input on the number, because you can't sign him for some $23-25 million deal and then say, okay, now someone else take him, because that's not always how these things work. Look at Debo. So I think there would have to be some negotiations kind of there would have to be some tampering in the background.
Ooh.
So let's move on to the trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1. And we have no TA1 trades this week, so we don't have to talk about that. The first trade, and these are some doozies this week, folks.
Monster trades.
Monster trades. The first one is Kendre Miller for a 3-10 and a 2026 third. So let's just throw the picks out for a second, even though we can talk about rookies and combine and all that stuff. Herms, do you like what you saw out of Kendre Miller kind of those last couple weeks, and the fact that his literal demons are gone with Dennis Allen not being in New Orleans anymore? As Kamara gets older, do you think Kendre's worth anything and worth a trade like this where you would give up a couple of thirds to put him on your team?
I think so. I think the changing of the coaching staff to people that don't hate him is going to be a huge benefit. And the fact that Jamal Williams is no longer on the team.
Yes, I didn't mention that today. For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, but it's pertinent to this part of the program.
Yes, it is.
That is what, you know, I don't love Kendre Miller. I'm going to be completely honest. Like, right. When he was coming into the league, I was not a big fan of just the type of runner he is and the fact that he kind of just lacks a certain amount of explosiveness. But when it comes to running back, one of the most important things is simply just having the opportunity. So whether I like the player or not, his two biggest obstacles are no longer around.
Right.
He is now next in line to touches that don't go to Alvin Kamara. Right. And if for any reason, you know, he gets hurt or something, we're talking about a starting running back, which is worth a lot more than two thirds. So sure. If you can go ahead and, you know, cash in on that now, great. And if the Saints end up drafting a running back or something and Miller gets pushed down the depth chart again, then you didn't really give up that much to begin with. Given where we are on the, you know, navigations of narrative street, this is a pretty good time to make that kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fine with either side of this deal, actually. Like, it's and one of them, you know, is 310. So, like, that's probably never going to matter for you. Even if you hold it and draft it, that player is probably never going to be important on your team.
Hey, in this draft, you never know. Everyone keeps talking about how deep it is.
Deep it is, yeah. But, yeah, I'm not a big believer in Kendre Miller. I also don't like – I know he could potentially, you know, Kamara gets hurt. He could, or even if he doesn't get hurt, he'll have a much bigger role. But it's a bigger role on a very mediocre, might be their ceiling. So, like, mediocre offense. So, even if Kamara goes down, I'm not sure how much I love Kendre Miller. And if he doesn't, even if he does, I don't think he's getting very much passing work. So, again, it's 2/3, so I don't hate it. But if you have Kendre Miller, I don't hate getting rid of him for 2/3 either. So that's kind of where I'm at on it. Like, I also think he probably does, even if not this year, maybe by next year, he's getting someone drafted ahead of him anyway.
Right. I would take Kendre only because of kind of the way Herms put it. You have a higher chance of having a top 15 running back with Kendre than you do the 310. I kind of merged the two thoughts that Rocky and Herms had together, right? If Kamara gets hurt and the Saints don't, I almost said the Giants for some reason, the Saints don't draft another running back, he's a top 15 running back if Kamara gets hurt. And that's probably being conservative. So moving on to TA8, we have Braylon Allen for a 2027 second. So, Herms, we obviously talked about Breece Hall and how he could be on the move, So are you buying Braylon Allen? He obviously had some flashes. Did you like him as a rookie coming in from Wisconsin? Obviously, he's like 16 years old still, so he still has plenty of tread on the tires to go. So what do you think about Braylon Allen, and would you trade, you know, random second for him?
I think he's awesome, man. I mean, the fact that he was already as good of a runner as he was at his age, especially because his freshman season at Wisconsin, we're talking about this dude at 17 years old just trucking guys over. Like, he's built, man. He kind of reminds me of I think I comped him to, like, a little bit sort of like James Conner ish you know, that sort of, you know, kind of more powerful running back. I like him a lot, and I think he could be really interesting down the line if things don't work out with Breece Hall. But even if things, you know, kind of end up turning more in Breece Hall's favor, we did see in spurts of last year that they split the load. They didn't always just give a full workload to Breece Hall. Like, there were several instances. Now, it's going to be a new coaching staff, so we'll see what they do with things. But we've seen a world in which, you know, he's not this, oh, he has to be the workhorse type running back. There is room for a guy like Braylon Allen to actually work into a secondary role. I don't know if I want to give up a second round pick for that, but it's far enough in the future in 2027 that, like, sure, man, see what happens. That's the type of asset you can also go and get back from someone else.
Correct.
Down the line. So if it's fine. It's more speculative than the last deal. I think I kind of prefer the last deal if we're talking about just, like, contingency running backs, but you could definitely do a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, this is the reason we don't often put these kind of trades on here, because it's sort of like,
we were overflowing with trades this week.
Yeah, we had almost no trades this week, so we figured, well, we'll just put them on there and talk about them. But the only reason I would consider it is because it's a 27 second. It is three drafts out, so I don't really want to give up a second for Braylon Allen. I wasn't super bullish on Braylon Allen coming out. I mean, he does have that potential, especially if Breece were to get moved to just based on volume, be a legit running back for at least a year, but I'd rather hold my second and use it for something else.
Yeah. If I'll paint the pretty optimist picture on Braylon Allen, their new OC came from the Lions, and they had two really good running backs there. So if you could sell Braylon Allen as the new Montgomery, and I want to call him Taron Egerton, but that's the actor, Tanner something, in his offense, where they can kind of really see Breece as the Gibbs and Braylon as the Montgomery in this role, I would absolutely pay a 2027 second for the chance that Braylon Allen is David Montgomery 2.0, because we just don't know. So before we get to the listener questions, because we're going to get into a lot of combine stuff, I have one small rant to make. So a few months ago on this podcast, I said something kind of in passing that I almost looked really right about. I said that I thought Isaiah Bond was going to beat Xavier Worthy's combine record. And I said this about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago. And you know who agreed with me? Isaiah freaking Bond. He came out and said he's going to drop a 4-1. And I got so excited. I'm like, wow, I'm going to have one of these little right rookie takes. I don't normally have a lot of these. And then what the hell, dude? 4-4? You didn't even sniff it. You were like, you were 3/10 of a second off. Whatever buddy was holding the stopwatch for him when he was running 4-1s needs to be out of that entourage so he doesn't keep doing that anymore. Because that was crazy. He has obviously a lot of straight line speed, and I think he's going to be a good player, and I don't think what he ran should actually knock that down. But what the hell, dude? You said 4-1, and then you didn't even do 4-3, 4-2-5. Like, you didn't even get close. So that's my rant. So on that note,
my favorite part, though, is that he wasn't even the fastest wide receiver from Texas.
No.
His teammate, Matthew Golden, ran the fastest 40.
It's just crazy.
It's so beautiful. It's so funny.
The hype on Golden is out of control right now. And we're going to get to him in a second, but holy cow. After that combine, I saw him mocked to the Rams, and people were like, you know, top three wide receiver in this class, top one wide. Just the hype on him is bananas after this weekend. So let's get into the listener questions. We're going to start with Tone, who dropped an excellent question on the combine. The risers and fallers post-combine. I think Matthew Golden is one of those. So how do you bake in the amount of depth at the running back position out of the combine this class showed out? So Herms, obviously you wrote a fantastic article on the winners and losers of the combine, and it's going to include someone I know Russ is going to draft a lot of, named Bashal Tootin, a.k.a. Scootin' Tootin. So just because of names. So why don't you kind of tell us who'd you see as some of those risers and fallers? And you don't have to give all your winners and losers from your story. Make people go read it.
Of course. Definitely go check it out. You definitely were correct on Tootin, man. I am part of the Rootin' Tootin' Brigade. I made a whole meme of him wearing like a sheriff's hat with a little badge that says Zoom and like a lasso. I'm going to post it all sorts of places throughout the draft process. It's a new bit that I'm very dedicated to. He ended up with an absurdly high speed score, which I think is a metric that I want listeners who aren't familiar with to go, you know, read more about. Because when it comes to a player's speed, it's less important about the raw 40 time and more important about their speed score, which in simple terms takes into account their 40 time relative to how much they weigh. So we talk about players like Caleb Johnson from Iowa being a little bit disappointing for not running very fast, but like, dude weighs almost 220 pounds. Considering how heavy he is, he actually ran fine. You have to look at, you know, the different, you know, more sort of advanced things rather than just the traditional hand times and all that. But that part of it aside, Tootin just running the fastest and having the fastest 10-yard split, which is the part that I think measures, you know, really a player's acceleration and their ability to get up to speed. He's so explosive. He was really impressive to me in Mobile when I went down to the Senior Bowl as well. I think there's a decent chance that Tootin could end up being drafted maybe in like the third round or something in the NFL draft. I don't think the helium is going to push him all the way up into like the top 75 picks or anything, but he's definitely a big riser. And then a faller. You want me to get into
sure, or talk about Golden, because you obviously liked yourself some Matthew Golden. So would you see or hear this weekend that made that improve or better?
I'm going to be honest. I don't really know a ton about Matthew Golden. I just know the fun irony that he ran faster than his teammate.
Got it.
But if I was going to talk about anybody, it would quickly be Harold Fannin Jr. He wasn't very fast, man. Mm-hmm. And I know people are really hyped on him, but he's more of like a playmaker, H-back type.
Yeah.
He reminds me more of like when I was a kid, like Chris Cooley was a really big deal.
Yes. I have heard that comp to a lot of places.
Yeah, like I remember that type of player. Just like he's technically a tight end, but like not really. You can kind of, you know, pitch the ball to him a little bit here and do things in that nature. Yes. But it's important that he weighed in heavier. He met that minimum weight threshold you want from tight ends. That was super dope. But he runs super slow. He has a really fast three cone drill, which definitely says a lot about his agility. But he's just, if he's going to be a playmaker, he needs to be a superior athlete. You know, it's already hard enough to be a Chris Cooley or like a Jonnu Smith type of player as it is, mm-hmm. because you don't have a defined role in the NFL. So without matching that with superior athleticism, I just don't think he's going to be somebody I end up drafting a lot. I don't really see it. And Bowling Green played in the MAC. It's not a power conference. I'm sorry. That's the other thing I don't want to burst people's bubble. I know he's like a big analytics darling, but it was also at Bowling Green.
He put up a whooping on Penn State. He put some numbers on Penn State, and that team probably should have played for the national championship if they had a quarterback who could throw the ball. So,
Drew Howler slander on this program.
I know. I can give my couple takeaways. I literally just kind of wrote stream of consciousness as I read things this week. If you thought Elijah Arroyo was a sleeper, too bad. 6'5", 250 blows that out of the water. He's someone who's that big and can move that well. Forget about it. He's not a sleeper anymore. Colson Loveland is bigger than I remembered, is just what I wrote down. I didn't realize he was 6'5". I thought he was like 6'3", and a little smaller than that. I said I'm not worried about Fannin. Probably helps his sleeper value. If you thought he was a sleeper in this draft, if you liked him, you probably can get him for cheaper. I said, if you need any idea on how good Ohio State skill players are, they won the national championship with that guy playing QB. If you have not watched Will Howard's throwing, woof.
Oh, no.
It's hard to overthrow receivers at the combine, but man, he figured out how to do it. And then I said, don't worry, Tez Johnson. I would love to weigh 150 pounds. Stay strong, King. You're a good player. I'm not worried about the weight. I don't know, Herms, if you've looked at Tez at all, but I think some people came out of the combine saying like, oh, 150, that, you know, he seems breakable. Isn't Addison like 160? He's not that much bigger. So
yeah, Addison's like, Addison weighs like 170 something.
Okay.
It's Tank Dell. It's Jordan Addison. It's Devontae Smith. Like there are, it can happen. Mm-hmm. It is possible. I had Tez Johnson listed as one of the fallers, quote unquote, but he's still an interesting case. Like I watched him at the Senior Bowl, dude. He cooked some corners and mm-hmm. created separation and snagged some really nice balls. Like he can play the game of football. Yeah. It's just a matter of how much a team is going to believe in that at this point.
We had John, aka Dynasty Coach A, on the show a few months ago, and he was telling us about y'all's house at the Senior Bowl, and I was shocked to find you could find Old Bay in Mobile, Alabama. I was shocked to believe. I don't know where you found that or what hole you dug to find it, but it was amazing. So let's move on to Leif Peterson at leifpeterson.bluesky.social. Where would Golden, Tet, and Abuka slot in last year's Superflex rookie drafts? It's an excellent question. Tet's obviously, all of them are like, I'm not putting them in front of Rome. Like that three of Rome.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I pulled up
Harrison.
The eight again. I keep going back to the ADP just to refresh my memory on kind of where guys slotted in last year. And to me, it looks like it's hard to put any of them above like eight.
It's like, so, yeah, basically the question is, are you putting them ahead of Worthy? Are you putting Tet in front of Worthy? And I don't know, Herms, how much work you've done on these three. Obviously, Abuka to the Commanders has been a thing thrown around a lot lately, which would be very exciting.
He's also been thrown around the Rams a bunch. I read a lot of mocks, people, just in case that's not obvious at this point. But he's been thrown – those two teams have been thrown around Ibuka a lot. I've seen Buffalo for Ibuka, which would be awesome. So I guess, are you taking Tet over Worthy now? And then we can kind of – I think that's the question, right? Are you taking Tet over – or any of these receivers over Worthy? Let's say the best landing spot they could be. Let's do this here. Let's put Golden on the Rams. Let's put Tet on the Panthers. And let's put Ibuka on the Commanders or Bills, whichever one you like better.
My big thing with Ibuka is he's somebody that I rostered in a Campus to Canton league for a long time. So I've been keeping a watchful eye on this man. And when I thought he was coming out in last year's draft, I had him ranked as my wide receiver 3. I am really, really high on Emeka Ogbuka. I think he's a phenomenal football player. I think the biggest thing he's had going against him is occasionally getting hurt and being on teams with other tremendously talented receivers, because that's kind of the curse of the Ohio State of it all. Yeah. So Ogbuka is, I like him behind Tet is like my wide receiver 2 in this class. Like I'm not a big Luther Burden guy. I'm not. So these are two guys I value very highly. I think I would rather take the chance on both of them over Xavier Worthy, but it's definitely tough because I'm not sure how much like playoff run / Super Bowl Worthy is going to be the version that we see, or if it's going to be more like regular seasons. If we had a little bit more information there, it would be easier for me to make a definitive choice. But just based off of what we know now, I'd rather take the mystery fun box.
I think I would take him over Worthy too. Mainly because of, I've said this before on the pod, the Rashee Rice factor. I don't know how to weigh that in for either of them. Like, I don't know what that's going to be like when Rice and Worthy are on the field together. I just think that I would rather take the high upside chance on those two over Worthy, just because I think even though he did play well, I just feel like the opportunities aren't going to be as much with assuming Rice comes back.
Right. I probably shouldn't have assumed Rome. Would you take Rome over all three of these guys with no Keenan? Let's say no Keenan for now.
Ooh.
Because he's a free agent. Rome. Yeah, I think so too.
I think so too. Yeah.
I can hear Russ screaming from Jersey. I forgot Brian Thomas Jr. when I said that.
It was implied. It was implied.
Okay. Yes, I would obviously take Brian Thomas Jr. over these three as well. So let's move on to the Dynasty Deviant at Dynasty Deviant at bluesky.social. How do you navigate buy price versus sell price? This is a very vague question. So I'm going to let one of you two answer it first so I can think of my answer.
I'm not exactly sure what the question is asking.
I don't either.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. I saw this and I thought about it a little bit because I also felt like it was a question that left a lot to be chewed on to kind of get the flavor out. And what I came to was I'm the type of person that I try to make sure that those two things are the same. Like if I'm going to go out and buy a player, I want to make sure that it would be like trying to, because I think a lot of people like to do the thing where like, well, I'll sell this guy for a first, but I'd only pay a second. Like, well, that you're kind of putting conflicting, you know, kind of things in your head. I understand wanting to, you know, fish for really good deals and, you know, get really good discounts on things. So like, you should always try to send a little bit less to get something that's worth a little bit more if you can. But ideally, the buy and the sell price are the same because that way it's consistent. That was the best answer that I could possibly come up with. So I don't know if that helped at all.
I don't know how to add to it. I think my best answer for this is your buy price is whatever you're willing to pay for it. And there is times where you have to make decisions on players or kind of stand out, I guess, not stand out for just standing out sake. Like don't trade, you know, 3 firsts for Breece Hall because you think he's coming back. But like if you can find those deals where you can get, I'll use my trade from a few weeks ago. I think ETN is a buy low right now because there are fears that they will draft another running back with him. I don't think so, is my personal opinion on that, because I think they have 100 other needs before they get to running back. And so if I can trade 2 seconds for ETN and potentially have some upside of him being back to something even close to what he was when he was at his peak, then I think that's how you can kind of establish a buy price. And I think it's, you know, Rocky and I disagreeing on Hall versus Achane. So there could be, you know, prices that can be established there just from simple dislocations in the market. And I think it's no different than buying a stock, buying a, you know, any sort of investment, right? You kind of make an opinion on something based on underlying things that you believe in. And if the market misprices it, then that's your buy price.
Yeah, I think you said it pretty well there, Frank. I don't know that I have a ton to add. Just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying is that I guess basically just trying to don't just accept that, like what Herm said, we do that a lot here too sometimes. I say a lot sometimes. That sell a guy for a first but only pay a second. Don't just necessarily assume that that's what everyone's going to think. Like, make sure you're reaching out there. Like, everyone's buy price and everyone's sell price is going to be different. So, like, Frank was just making the player comparison of Brees and Achane. You know, I probably would have, you know, the price of Achane higher than Frank would. So maybe if you reach out to the correct person, mm-hmm. It makes it easier to navigate that. It's not just, well, you know, Trey Addict said it's this, so I'm not going to pay that, so I'm not even going to make the offer, that kind of thing.
Right. And the devious answer for the deviant is find out what trade calculator your friends use and then go look at what those values are. Because if they believe in KTC or, you know, any of these roto trades or anything like that, go look at what those players are valued at different places and go see what you can get for it, because there are some people who rely way too much on the numbers and not necessarily the opinions, and those lead to very interesting buy opportunities. So moving on to Craig Ruth at Roto Heat. Craig, which of you would be most adept at successfully operating a combine? I don't know what this means either. Are we running the combine? Are we doing all the drills?
No.
Are we...
A combine is some sort of machine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a big farm thing. So
yeah, that's what I thought.
So definitely
not Frank.
Can you tell him from Chicago?
My guess was going to be Herms because I only vaguely know what a combine is.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is, so it's not me.
Yeah, so I'm from a part of Maryland where agriculture is strong. So that, and I also know how to drive a forklift. So yeah. I think just those two factors.
Oh, out of the three of us, combine is. Now that I see what it is, I get it. It's like, yeah, okay.
I am definitely most likely, but I don't put my chances of being good at it very high.
Yeah,
probably higher than me or Frank, though.
Yeah, that's. I had no idea. I thought we were talking about running like the actual combine in Indianapolis, and I'm like, none of us probably. Like,
oh,
it seems like seems like a lot of planning. So yeah, I think, yeah, let's say none of us, but Herms has the best chance.
Yeah, I think so.
Moving on to Tommy Blair at fftommyb.bluesky.social. He broke it down by each person.
Ooh.
If Herms could spend a day with Herm Edwards, what would it look like? How did Rocky get his nickname? Which, by the way, blew my mind. I had no idea that was your nickname and not your real name. And what would Frank like to say in this moment if he could have a one-way message to Travis Kelce? Oh boy, he's gaslighting me now. So, Herms, why don't you start? What would your day with Herm Edwards look like?
Dude, I don't know, man. That'd be interesting. I think he was a really good coach. I'd like to ask him things about defense. I mean, he definitely knows what he's doing. He was pretty good at stuff for a long time. I mean, I don't know. I guess that would...
How old is Herm Edwards? Herm Edwards is 70 years old. That blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not even 30 yet, so I'm not really sure how my time with a 70-year-old man. I mean, that's true. No, and he's definitely he has a very enthusiastic, bombastic personality. I think that he and I would bounce off each other pretty well. I think that would be interesting, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'd probably just ask him about defense, and he seems like the guy that, like, I could take him to a cigar lounge, you know, we could just, you know, light up a few stogs, shoot some pool. I don't know.
Here we go.
That's what I would do with Herm Edwards.
Yes.
The invitation is out there, Herm, if you're listening.
Oh, he's listening.
You got to end with you play Madden against him. Then when you kick his ass, you stand up and go, "You play to win the game."
Oh, that would be good. That would be good.
I always hate this question for me because it's so boring, the answer. This is funny. I did not know you did not know my name was not actually Rocky.
No, that's like saying my name is Roger something. I had no idea.
I didn't know either, to be fair. So yeah, this is news.
Tommy just exposed your government basically on the
podcast. I feel like I might have answered this someone here before. Maybe not.
Probably on Junkies.
Maybe. It's like I said, super boring. My actual name is Robert. My middle name is Christopher. My parents did not like even though my dad's a Bob, they didn't like Bob or Bobby or Robbie. So they wanted to come up with something else. They took the first part of both names, R-O-C. I also was born in 77, which was the year after the movie came out. Hence, Rocky.
Got it.
Like I said, it's not the most exciting answer. I wish I had something better.
Yeah. If I could say one thing to Travis Kelce right now, I would say just shut up for 5 seconds and play football. My God, no one cares about your personal life as much as you think it does. And it's a lot of this stuff that I wish I could say to a lot of these players. And I understand they're trying to make a career, and I get that. But not everyone cares about every waking moment of your life. And I know he definitely sees himself that way. You're the fourth most important person on your team. Get over yourself. So moving on to Veritas Sword, at Truth Sword, bluesky.social.
Damn, tell us how you really feel. I know.
Oh, and thank you for coming back and saving my thing. Yeah, appreciate that. Hopefully you'll come back and actually play football for more than like 3 games. So combine drill nominee, the stop, drop, and roll. Test speed, agility, strength, and balance. There kind of is a football drill like this. It's called monkey rolls. Like, I don't know if you guys played football growing up, but you like have 3 people lined up and you have to like roll over each other, like off of like a push-up position. There's something like this, but it would certainly be. So I'm now trying. No, okay, now we're going to get into this because I now need to make this in my head. So do you run 10 yards? You stop, you drop, do you roll 5 yards? How far do you roll? Like, let's break this down now that we're here. This is the last question we can spend.
Depends on if you're on fire or not.
Well, we could light them on fire, but we'd have to do
how high are the snakes in the city?
Yeah. I'm sure most of these players could, you know, survive fire somehow because none of them are human anymore. But
true.
I would say you run 10. You have to stop on a dime and then roll 5 yards, I guess, to your right. Maybe you go maybe you start on the left hash and roll to the right hash. How long's that? I don't know how the hash is. It seems that's a lot longer than 5 yards.
It does. But that's what I was thinking.
I like where you're going with this, though, because I think so. In order to measure the precision of their roll,
correct,
wherever you want them to roll to, we must set up some sort of cone.
Yes.
And judge them based off of how close to the cone they actually got, or if they perfectly landed back on the cone.
Correct.
For them to pop up and do the rest of the
drill. And what part of the body do they have to hit the cone with? Is it the lower back? Is it the center of the back? Is it the head? Like, that's important.
Whatever's most impressive, I think. Yeah. That's there's something to this. We're going to have to petition for it. We're going to have to lobby pretty hard, get a lot of signatures. But if we believe and work hard enough, folks, we can get this.
I can't wait for the first time a guy's draft stock soars because of his perfect roll.
Because of his stop, drop, and roll drill. It sounds like that's what we're doing right about now anyway. So we're talking about broad jump mattering for a whole round. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
So on that happy note, that is the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Can you tell it's been a long couple days for me, folks? I'm sorry. Thank you, Herms, for coming on. We always love having you on. Yes. Why don't you remind Herms, everyone?
Friend of the show.
Yes, always. He's always welcome on the show. Why don't you remind everyone where who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I am a fantasy football person for money. And I work at places such as FTN Fantasy and Fantasy Points. I also do some podcasting stuff with my friends, the Dynasty Degens, here and there. You can find me on Twitter at @CH_Herms. And if you want to follow me on the Blue Sky, I am just @Herms. Very simple. Very simple. No fancy things. No nothing you got to remember. Just Herms.
Keeps it nice and easy. Our stuff, patreon.com/TradeXPod. You can watch us while we record. You can look at Herm's very pretty looking AEW poster and his face at the same time. And, you know, we also have our, Discord, the Cool Kids Club. We talk about news and complain about, Isaiah Bond. And sometimes you can get previews of my rants, which is why Tommy knew I was going to rant about Travis Kelce. And obviously the most important thing is Fantasy Cares. I have not been paying as close of attention the last couple of days, but I know they have a golf challenge starting this week with the players. I think it's a one and done, so that's exciting. Outside of that, Trivia with Joey Wright on Mondays, Dynasty Dummies with Zach and J Mike on Tuesdays. And you have the hangout where you can still see Russ on Wednesdays with Zach and whatever cast of characters they bring. I swear it changes every Wednesday. So with that, good morning, good afternoon, and good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. A proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pan, that is the best. See ya.